following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, let me say that we wanted to give biblical principles. There's one thing I feel like is coming very soon with all this cancel culture we're living in, is the Bible is coming under attack, and it is going to come under greater attack. And one of the things that is our foundation as believers is to stand on the Word of God, the whole Word of God. 31,000 something verses that when you read it, it's not 66 books written by 40 main authors, but it really, you read it and it's like one book, right? Written by one author, because it's like the Apostle Peter tells us, these men of God were not writing of their own will, but they were writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was the one who was writing this. And so we want to look at marriage and principles, looking at it through the lens of Scripture, the next 3 days, 2.5 days. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to start out with one principle that as we're praying and talking that Linda felt. We're going to talk about this weekend, the mission of your marriage. Okay. And by the way, some of you might go, your G's look like sixes. I already know that. This word mission is an important assignment. And so if God has put you together, which he has, you have an assignment from him. Okay, that's what your mission is. And we're going to talk about that, looking at everything through the lens of Scripture. So the first principle that we want to talk about in terms of having a one flesh relationship is this scripture.
Let me share the story first. So this is just a little piece that I felt like the Lord reminded me of today, a situation 20 years ago. And I felt like he kind of gave me a word for all of us tonight. And he'll follow up with his scripture. But we train young people to go work in hard places around the world. And we had helped a team, coached a team that was now living at that time in Mauritania, in Nouakchott, Mauritania. Do you guys know where that is? It's in Western Africa, right at the very top where it hits the Sahara Desert. It borders the sea and then goes straight in the desert. And it's very oil-rich, but very poor. It's a Muslim nation in the desert. So imagine all of where we are right now without any water. And this team had, I think, maybe 10 people on this team. And they'd been there maybe 7 months or something, and we went over to visit the team. And, you know, this is just everything you can imagine when you're in these places. It's very dusty. They have these severe dust storms that you might have even seen on
sandstorms.
Discovery Channel, sandstorms that look like a wall coming across the desert at them, and everyone has to get into their houses, and it permeates everything. And of course, they are. This incident that happened, I was talking to one of the single girls on the team. Well, she's a single, young single woman. She's probably 20, living in a Muslim nation, trying to function. All the rules are different for the girls there, where they could go and what they could do. Just to survive when you're in places like that, you go to the market to try to hope you're getting, you know, fruit and vegetables that are you can eat and meat and all those items. You don't know the language at all, so you're depending on interpreters to really tell you the truth about things. everything you do, washing clothes is all done by hand, and so you can imagine doing sheets and bedding, and then you got to come back and cook it in ways that aren't, you know, highly efficient. It just, like, it's the kind of environment that wears on you, because everything is hard, and it's
including dirty. The spiritual atmosphere.
And the spiritual atmosphere is Muslim, so it's very heavy, and you hear the calls to prayer all through the day and night. And so, you know, we were there, and this single girl on the team asked if I could meet with her for some prayer. And she just said, you know, I feel like I'm useless here. Why am I here? It takes so much for me to just emotionally show up and to exist. And am I really helping God or people in any way? You know, now they played with kids and did some stuff, but they were just starting out. They later on established this amazing boys' center for little boys. It was phenomenal. But this was in the early stages. And I'm just overwhelmed that being there the first few days. It's just all very overwhelming. And I looked at her and I thought, I don't have anything to say, you know. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, God wants you to know you showed up. You are here. You hold the presence of Jesus standing in this spot, and you have not given up. Do you have any idea the authority you carry? Because you didn't let the sandstorms, the heat, the poor food, the frustrations force you to go home. You're standing. And that in itself is an authority that you have won. And don't let the enemy tell you that it doesn't matter. Because, right, when we as Christians, and I've had this multiple times, felt the Lord said that to me in different places in the world, to encourage people to say, when they feel like the need is so great, but to realize that every step that you take, when you place yourself in God and you say, Jesus, your Holy Spirit is in me, I am standing in this place, and it doesn't matter if I win 20 souls or no one, Jesus is now here because I am here, and I carry that authority, and the people around me have a chance to experience him because I'm here and I didn't give up. And so this afternoon, when we were talking about this time, that came right back to my mind, and I thought, God, how does this relate? And I just felt so clearly to say to you guys from the very beginning, no matter what is going on in your life, in your marriage, we all have had the ups and downs, and we have all wanted to quit, and we all fight wrongly, say the wrong things. All of us do, right? And these, you guys that are only 1 month, have fun. Yeah. It's coming. But the thing we have in Jesus is as believers, is his authority that sits within each of us. And what I felt the Lord wanted to say to you is, you walked in this room, it means you're standing.
Yes.
You're standing. Yes. You've already won. The battles will still be there. That's what life is. Those of us that live long enough, you realize, you know, it never goes away. It just never goes away, right? And the Bible tells us that. Why are we surprised that you will face many tribulations in this life? But I don't think, and one of the things we'll talk about in the next few days, is that we don't always see it as relating to our marriage and how significant in this world, like he mentioned, of cancel culture, and this world of dismissing the good and mixing up what's good and what's bad, right? That for those of us that have marriages that have agreed together that we will not be moved, if that's all you do on a hard day is you say, well, I won't be moved. I stand in the authority of Jesus today. And that's what you did when you walked in. And so you have already made this time a great success because you've been willing to come to the table and to say, I am all in on this, right? And I stand, and I'm not going to be moved. And so you were going to share the scripture.
Yes, so Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about weaponry that God has given us for fighting the spiritual battle. And there's different ones, like truth and righteousness and faith. But one of them that often I think I used to always skip over is standing. And it's mentioned three times in Ephesians 6, in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Then verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. And so this word in the Greek, you know what an antihistamine is, right? the word here for stand in the Greek is that word. It's this word, histemi. It's the word we get antihistamine from. The same word is resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's the same word later on in James 4:7. So histemi is to stand, or specifically to make a stand is what it means. And so that's the first principle that we wanted to talk about tonight, is to stand for.
So we've had a very personally tumultuous few years, probably the most sandstorms we've ever had in our lives, in our ministry. And this is one of the key things that God has told us to do. Now, we've heard, as you can imagine, years of great teaching and principles because we're immersed in it all the time. But the simplicity of this, God has forced us to look at the simplicity of this, to stand today in what we know to be true and don't worry about tomorrow, to stand together. And we say this to ourselves. We do retreats together with Bill and Joy, and we had in the last one a word about daily manna that to us, that God is just going to give you the manna only for today. And I feel like this is such a word for all of us, that we need to stand in what you know to be true today and let the future take care of itself. It's in God's hands.
Yes.
Right? And that is for our whole world right now. And to not take things in our own hands, but to stand in what we know to be true. And so I felt like that was one of the first actions that the Lord wanted us to take. If you're able to stand up tonight, we'd like you to stand with your partner, and we're just going to pray. Take the partner's hand, and we're doing the same thing, because like I said, we've been battered by the storms of life, and mistakenly we can think that's coming from our partner, right?
You thought that?
Yeah, that at times it's like, wouldn't it be better if he or she would just get their act together? But guys, we have to. We have all the resources of the risen Christ for us to be able to live right lives, right? If we cannot do this, how on earth can we expect our children or those around us that depend on us, how can we be an example to them if we cannot do it? We have to take hold of what God has promised us, that if we stand, okay, that he will do battle for us. But we have to be faithful in that. And so, do you have something else, or do you want me to pray?
No, I want you to pray.
Yeah, I just really felt strongly that we were to start by doing this tonight. And if there's nothing else that happens the whole weekend, we stood firm in our faith and our commitment to one another. So, Jesus, We come to you tonight, God, and we are humbled by your goodness that you put up with us. You know, and I think back, I had such a real vision of being in that place in Mauritania with the smell and the heat and the how awful it was. And sometimes in our lives, our marriages, we feel like it's smelly and it's messy, and we've had dust storms right and left, and we don't know where to turn, and fear and anxiety can overtake us. But God, you have said to us that you are with us and that we need to just stand. We don't have to work. We don't have to strive. We don't have to be fearful. But we do need to stand and be unmoved. And so, God, we just commit all of our relationships to you. And I pray for every marriage in this room that you would give each person the courage to stand and be unmoved in Jesus' name as they move forward into this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Linda. You can be seated. Why don't you sit? Well, you can sit down there. That's fine. Okay, let me give you one more principle with some homework for tonight, okay? Let me say that I'm going to put this chair up on the stage later, and then as we go through the weekend, if there's something that doesn't gel or you have a question, how does this fit with this in Scripture? And if there's something that we don't really know, I'll take off our teacher hat. I'm going to take off my teacher hat and sit down and tell you my opinion about that. As a fellow seeker of truth, as a brother in the Lord, because there are many things I don't know and don't understand in Scripture. I want to try and stick to those things that are clear, but maybe there's a question you have, or maybe there's something, I'd just give you my opinion, but I don't want to say this is truth. Does that make sense? Yeah? So principle number two, so I'm just going to, instead of putting principle each time, I'm just going to put the number two. And this one comes with some a little bit of homework for later on if you have the ability to do this. And so agree to disagree over the small stuff. The power of agreement is very significant, and disunity doesn't come from disagreement. It comes from pride, from unforgiveness. You can disagree over something and still be united if you walk in humility. Really, unity is corporate humility. But Linda and I don't agree on many things. She's growing. No, I'm just kidding. I'll give you an example of this. So I like sports. I like competition. It's not whether you win or lose, it's whether I win or lose. But I love watching sports, and most Aussies, when they come to America, or in fact, most foreigners, first time they see American football, it's like, I don't get this, because it's different than every other sport in the world where you're stopping all the time. But for me, I love chess, and I love strategy. And so the first time I saw it, I thought, I love this game. And so, but with traveling, sometimes I'm in a totally different time zone in India or, you know, somewhere in the South Pacific, and I can't watch a game. But I actually came across something called a sling player. You know what a sling player is, or a sling box? Years ago. And so I bought a sling box. In a sling box, I can watch whatever is on my television in Denver. I can watch it anywhere in the world. It's an incredible technology. So here I am. This one time I remember, I think I was in Turkey, maybe. But anyway, I wanted to watch the Bronco game, the Denver Broncos. Not so much in recent years, but this is this is a while ago. I wanted to watch the game, so I turn it on, I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, it switches to the food channel. Okay? And so I flip it back. There's a way to the game. And it goes back to the Food Channel. And Linda is in Denver watching a cooking show. And so, you know, I tried to point out that the Bible does speak about gluttony, but is completely silent about football. So that's maybe a silly example, but you can disagree but still be united with another person. And this power of agreement, I want to look at two verses in particular here, and specifically I want to suggest to you, and what I want to do is look at these verses to show this. So a unity is a key to answered prayer. And maybe you've been praying for something and you haven't seen it come to pass. And so Jesus says this in Matthew. I always write the scriptures in red because Jesus used to write in red. Verse 18 through 20. Truly I tell you, and just prior to this, in Matthew 16, 19, Jesus said to Simon Peter, I want to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he goes on to say this, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Again, he repeats it. And then in verse 19, he says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For many years, this really troubled me because there were a lot of prayers I prayed that actually were not answered, at least were not answered right away, and some of them seemed like they were never answered. How could Jesus actually say, whatever you agree on will be done by my Father in heaven? It relates to unity because the word agree here then is this word. Let me get this brown here. Agree is this word in the Greek. It's symphoneo. It's the word we get symphony from. Symphoneo. So whatever you agree on together, that you are like-minded, you've come to the place where it's not just your desire, but you agree, this is the will of God. This is the right thing. And you're not just asking individually, but you're asking together. The second scripture then is John 15, and this relates to the homework that we want to give you tonight, and that's John 15, 1 through 17, but let me just take the first part of this passage then. And I'm going to read it from the NLT, which is one of my new favorite versions. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. Actually, the word there for cuts off, or remove, is this word, airo. There's an H in there. It's this word, and it means either. It can mean remove, but actually, more accurately, it means lifts up. And if you look it up in a Greek interlinear or whatever way you have to look at the original, it means either to remove or to lift up. And so a friend of ours, David Hamilton, was in Israel recently, and I was talking to him, and he he told me he was with a Hebrew scholar, and they were walking along, and there was a fig tree with a grapevine with beautiful grapes just growing up on the fig tree. And then next to it, there was part of the grapevine that was on the ground. And there were animals that had eaten some of the grapes, and they'd been trampled on by people. And he said, see this here? This is actually what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the fruit that doesn't, or the branch that doesn't bear fruit. He lifts up every branch of mine that doesn't bear fruit. Is actually, a hero is the more accurate interpretation of that. And he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, or if it does not remain in the vine. And you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like useless branches and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. In the English language, sometimes there's something that's lost in translation, because I can say you, talking to Bill or talking to Jeff, but I can say you referring to all 180 of you, right? Now, maybe the Texans have it a little bit better because y'all, you know, and now when I've been in Texas, sometimes y'all can be one person, so they go, all y'all, meaning all of you. In this passage in John 15, all of the verbs and pronouns are in the second person plural, not in the second person singular. So every time that Jesus said, you, it was not just you, one person, but it was you, plural, second person, plural, every single time in John 15, which is incredible because it goes along with what Jesus said, whatever you agree on will be done, symphoneo, that you are together in symphony. And so there's something significant about the togetherness in agreement that we're asking for something. And so for you as a couple, to walk together in unity and agreement over what God is saying to you, there's power when you pray. And so what I want to ask you to do is to take this passage then at some point tonight. It doesn't have to be from the New Living Translation, but John 15, 1 through 17, and to put yourselves as a couple into it. So if for later on, Linda and me, then we would do this. I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He lifts up every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Peter and Linda have already been pruned and purified by my message I have given to Peter and Linda. Remain in me, and I will remain in Peter and Linda. You guys get it, right? Peter and Linda. Okay, but I mean everybody. Put your name in there. A branch cannot produce fruit of its own if it does not remain in the vine. And Peter and Linda cannot bear fruit unless Peter and Linda remain in me. And then down to verse 7. But if Peter and Linda remain in me and my words remain in Peter and Linda may ask for anything Peter and Linda want and it will be granted to them. And then continue on through the end of, through verse 17. So Lord, we thank you for these two principles that we've talked about tonight. The principle to stand as a couple, to make a stand against the things that are not of you, to, as C. Peter Wagner used to say, in the different types of evangelism, and one of the types was just presence evangelism, to just not quit, to be there, to stand. Lord, we want to be able to do that as couples. And also to not get caught up in small things that are unimportant, but to walk in unity, in a spirit of agreement over the things that you've called us to do, and to pray for those things and to believe you for those things. We thank you that it's not just our words, but it's your words. If you remain in me and my words in you, your rhema word, Lord, that the things you've spoken to us, that we would seek your face and agree together on those things. I pray you'd bring things back to mind, even this weekend, that maybe we've forgotten, or things that we've committed to, or things that you've spoken to us in the past, that we would be able to stand for those things and come into a spiritual agreement and unity over them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill. Bless you guys. Look forward to the next 2 days with you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.